It's great to see faces and meet you back again and see some new faces with Courtney joining us as well. Courtney's going to be joining us for the whole management certificate. So those of you who are continuing on into September, she'll be with us as well. So welcome. I'm actually right now on the, I got my long conference call number there. Let's see, hold on. Just going to grab one page. So one sec here. Okay, there we go. Welcome to our conference call. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this one from the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin Territory in Ottawa. So it's nice to join you from a different part of the country. And it's been really great in, here in Ottawa for 3 days with a number of people from across Nunavut. So it's really exciting to learn about their communities. And they're really excited that, you know, to be part of your community too and to share ideas and everything. So thank you. So I'm going to ask you if you have the presentation slides open to scroll through them on your own. I just, I only have my little laptop, so I don't really want to have to share a screen and go back and forth as well, just in case I end up with any kind of issues or anything like that. So this learning event, proposal writing, is a 4-week learning event, which means you actually have 6 weeks to complete it. So over the 4 weeks, we're going to look at the process of preparing and writing a successful proposal. And as I'm sure everybody knows, a good proposal generates an investment in recreation. And strong proposals help you get the financial resources and support that you need for your community-driven projects, programs, and events. And so we were just doing the basic recreation finances learning event today. So we were talking about grants and money and tracking things and everything. So it is in our mind and also the time of the year that I think a lot of people tend to write proposals. So hopefully good timing for you in your work settings. So what we'll do is, as slide 4 or 5 shows you, we're going to look at what different funders look at in proposals. So slide 4, then it would be, I think. We're going to look at the steps for planning and preparing a proposal, for whether it's for a project, a program, or an event. And you guys get to draft a proposal that includes the fund, like all the different requirements the funder might require. And I'll explain that a little bit more over this conference call, because you might be wondering, how much work is that? And that would definitely be a question that I would want to know have answered. So I'll make sure that I sort of set your fears at rest, that it's not designed to be a 100-hour piece of work for this learning event or anything. And draft is the key. It doesn't have to be final, but we're drafting it. So what we're going to do over the 4 weeks that we have, we're going to have a required learning activity each week. There is the option for those of you with skills in proposal writing to combine week 3 and week 4, so you just end up with 3 RLAs. But if you haven't done many proposals, I'd suggest you do the 1 each week. It will help keep you on track. And then we're going to have a conference call like this one for the first 3 weeks. And then during the 4th week, you'll actually see, if you scroll down under week 3, you can go in and sign up for a 30-minute Zoom call or conference call with me for some help with your proposal. So I just find this is a little bit more of a individual learning event, because you each might write something very different and you might need different help depending on what your skills are at. So I'd like to be able to provide that help if you need it. And apart from this week, next week and the week after, I'll also add the extra optional hour if you want to be able to ask any questions after the first hour of the call. Just this week I got to jump back in. So, and I don't know if we'll need it this week. I think probably next week. So if you can, do your best to stay on track with this learning event, and that will make it a little smoother for you, and it won't feel like a mad rush at the end. I did schedule a break between this learning event and the next one, because the next one's a big one too. And then after that, it gets a bit easier. So, 2 big ones. So before we get too far in the call, I'd like us to do a round of introductions, and especially because we have some newer people joining us, and we've got everybody in our group on the call, so that's really exciting. So what I'd like to ask you to do, and I'll pop this in the chat too, is tell us in 30 seconds or less a bit about yourself and a bit about a funding source that supports recreation in your community. So let me just find the question, and I'm going to start just so that you can think of your answer, and then I'm going to put Juliana on the spot because she's here with me and ask her to go next, and then Kamathik next, and then we'll go around on my screen, which would be Holly, Courtney, Adam, Melanie, Raquel, Igor, Misha, and Nathan. So if we can, because we have a lot of us on the call today, if we can stick to a maximum of 30 seconds for your answer, that would be great. And if you don't have a, that does not look like the right question. One sec here. No, it's not the right question. Give me one second here, and I will find the right question. And while I'm doing that, I will share a little bit about myself for those of you who haven't met me that much anymore. So my name is Caroline Sparks, and as some of you know, I'm the learning consultant and trainer for the Recreation North Training Program, and I'm based out of Whitehorse. One of the funding sources that we've had luck with, as some of you might know, is through the Arctic Inspiration Prize. And in 2015, we were so lucky. Well, I don't know if luck was part of it, because we did do a lot of planning, but we were fortunate and honored to receive more than $500,000 to develop and pilot the Recreation North Training Program. So we really wouldn't be where we are today with all of our training if it wasn't for the support of Recreation North. So the question then is, here we go, and I hope you don't mind, Juliana, with me putting you on the spot first. This is the problem. It doesn't always work so well when I only have one computer screen. So let's try this one more time. Copy. Two extra screens. Okay, so I'm going to ask Juliana to go in 30 seconds or less to share a bit about herself and a bit about a funding source that supports recreation.
So my name is Juliana, and I work in Cambridge Bay with the Recreation Department. One of the sources of funding that we have is GS4Y Pink Walk for our makerspace, for wage subsidy for workers.
Wage subsidy.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good afternoon. Acting Recreation Director for Municipality of Iqaluit. And one funding source that we get is from Kakiwak for the summer camp.
That's great. So funding for wages, funding for summer camps. Holly, can I put you on the spot next? And then after Holly, I'll just say who will go to. Courtney will go to you, and then to Adam, and then Melanie. So Holly, if you'd like to tell us in 30 seconds or less about yourself and a funding source that supports recreation in your community.
Hi, I'm Holly. I'm a recreation coordinator in Yellowknife. I work for Avens. One funding source that supports recreation in our community. I know we've applied for the Albert Hall Fund in the past. I'm not sure if that's a proposal or a grant, though, so I'm not sure. Thank you.
And what was that funding source, Holly? Can you pop the name in the chat?
Breaking up.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was my phone or not. Can you pop it in the chat after you've shared it, just so that we sort of have a rough idea? Because I do like to collect the lists of funding sources and update them in case people have new ideas. So that would be great if you can pop that in the chat, Holly, if you can find that down on the bottom right. Courtney, can we go over to you if you're able to unmute and introduce yourself and share a funding source that supports recreation in your community?
Sure. My name's Courtney. I'm the Recreation Programming Supervisor in Hay River. One of the funding sources that we have accessed recently is the Canada Parks and Rec Association Reaching Each and Every One grant, which we use to support our youth multi-sport programming in the community.
That's great. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that because I know I'm familiar with CPRA funding programs. So thank you for sharing that with us. And if you wouldn't mind, if you're able to, if you're on a computer, there's a little chat at the bottom. If you can pop that in the chat too, that would be great. And that will help me keep track of who's done what funding and has access what. Okay, we'll go to Adam and then Melanie and then Raquel. So Adam, if you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us about a funding source that you've accessed or that supports recreation in your community.
Hi everyone, Adam Wu. I'm the Director of Professional Development for the NWT Recreation and Parks Association. And our funding, our largest funder is through NWT Lotteries. We also have funding through a few different government departments, and then individual programs access funding through a variety of sources, a few different federal government programs, and one that we've recently put a proposal into is the Canada Service Corps, and we're hoping to get.
Thanks, Adam. Are you guys hearing Adam all right? Is it just me because I'm in a hotel restaurant? You can hear him, Nathan? Okay. I might try switching over to my computer volume just so that I get a little bit more volume here. But let's go to Melanie and Raquel and then Igor.
Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm from Watson Lake, or this year right now, and I'm the REC programmer over here. And one of the programs or grants that support us is RIDEUP, which is the Youth Development Grant. Youth Development. Oh man, I'm not getting it together right now, but it's called RIDEUP, UConn Development Youth Program or something, and which basically supports many of our programs throughout the year, all different kind of programs specifically for youth.
That's great. Thanks, Melanie. And could you and also Adam pop your sources in the chat, too? That would be awesome, because then what I'll do is I'll update the records and add a link and everything like that, too. Let's go to Raquel, then Igor, then Misha, and then Nathan, just because that's the order you're on my screen. So hi, Raquel. Happy New Year.
Hi. Thank you. So I'm the Executive Director from Elder Active Recreation Association. And our main funding source is the Yukon Northern Wellness Project. We use this funding to organize all our walking programs, for example, the snowshoeing, kids sledding, hiking. Yeah, that's it.
That's great. Thanks, Raquel. And I am familiar with that one, so I appreciate it. But again, if you want to put it in the chat for everyone else to have a look at, that would be great. Thank you. Okay, let's go Igor, Misha, and Nathan. Over to you, Igor.
Hi, I'm Igor. I live in Chulita, Northwest Territories. I'm Director of Recreation here in Chulita. And one form that we are receiving, I can mention, the NWT Recreation and Parks Association with the Get Active program.
Awesome. That's been around for a while, too. So I'm sure that supported a lot of activities across the NWT. Thanks, Igor. And over to you, Misha. I see you've popped in the chat already, so that's great. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and that and the fund?
Yes. So my name is Misha Witkoff. I am a bit of a freelancer, but I also work at the Climate Reality Project. Al Gore and all of that crew I don't know what funding comes from that, but I can say that with the Food Sovereignty Project in Beaver Creek that I might be actually going to work on again, we got like $120,000 from the Climate Change and Health Adaptation Program. And community gardens are also recreation, so.
Yeah, community gardens definitely are like that. It's an important part. So good crossover project. So thanks for sharing that, Misha, and I'll look forward to hearing more about maybe going back to Beaver Creek. So that's great. Thanks. Over to you, Nathan, and we're sorry you were not here in Ottawa to join us because of all the flight cancellations.
Yeah, kind of disappointing, but oh well, what can you do? The one we recently did was I just got back from Winnipeg with Arpan, who were doing winter camp training for my youth leaders, getting first aid training, high five training, other counselor stuff, and a bunch of fun for them, and salaries and snacks. As well as last year, I was able to extend that winter camp program using the same, reaching each and everyone from CPRA. So I'm going to try and do something like that. I might try and do the Green Jobs Initiative, or I don't know. I mean, you got to try and get creative with that. Try and extend it. Have the kids do something. Yeah, and, oh, by the way, I'm Nathan. I'm an Elk Baker Lake Recreation Coordinator. Sorry.
That's great. Thanks, Nathan. And just as a side note, if anyone from NWT or UConn is interested in the youth programming that they do in Nunavut, Arpan supports some really great youth programming, and you could ask Nathan, Juliana, or Kumanopic about it as well. So really great if you're working with youth. So thank you. That's a, you know, everybody came up with a different funder. I've done this learning event. This is my sixth time with this learning event, and sometimes people can't come up with different funders, but there must be more funding sources out there than what we've had in the past. So thank you very much. As you've described and as is shown on slide 11, if you're on slide 11, there's a lot of different funding sources that support our sector or support recreation across the north. Some of you mentioned government sources, like Raquel mentioned the Yukon Northern Wellness Project, and those government sources can be federal or local or territorial. Usually they're territorial or federal, and I find that the grants from government sometimes can require a lot of paperwork and a lot of filling out pre-established application forms. So that's more of a grant application than proposal writing usually, although sometimes they'll also require like a letter of intent and a full proposal too. There's private businesses and corporations like Northwest Health or Canadian Tire, and although these types of funders may not fully fund a project, they're often really big supporters of recreation and sport across the north, and a really good source for extra contributions to whatever you are planning on doing. And then there's also foundations in the nonprofit sector that distribute funding, but some of them like might limit how they do funding. So there's some that are in place that they'll only fund charities. And it's quite, CPRA, the Canadian Parks and Rec Association, is a charitable organization. But in sport and recreation, especially in recreation, it's hard for organizations to get charitable status. So it's not, some of those funds that are out there are tougher for us to access. Out there. So, you know, I think as you are all working in recreation and community, you probably have a lot of ideas for projects that you can do in your communities. But you also have to have ideas for funding to go along with those projects so that you can actually put them into action. So that's why this week one of proposal writing is all about funding rather than about the proposal. It's about what comes before the proposal. So I'd like to review a couple of key concepts about proposal writing, and as we go through the content, I'll have some questions to come back to with you. So I'd like you to consider, and this is moving from slide 6 to slide 10, so consider that proposal writing is a special type of planning. So it's actually planning in and of itself. And to make sure that we end up with quality proposals, just the same way as we try and get quality programs, we want to follow a series of steps. And these steps are shown on slide number 7. So proposal writing, I find, falls into a series of steps that are similar to sort of that recreation programming process where we might plan first and then we do our small design and then we do our evaluation. Keep in mind that proposals are just one way for you to get resources for the things you want to do. So usually when you're doing proposals or grant applications, they're for one-time activities and not for ongoing expenses or paying the cost of your organization to operate. So that's important to keep in mind. Some funders, like the one Raquel mentioned, They're actually doing a 5-year funding cycle, which is absolutely amazing, but it still requires annual work plans, evaluation, and budgets and reporting. So if you take a look at slide 8 and slide 9, these ones will explain how a proposal is similar to, but not the same thing as a grant application. So keep this in mind because this might shape how you approach your second, third, and fourth required learning activities. So a proposal is a written document that requests funding for a planned project or something specific, whereas a grant is a chunk of money or the sum of money that is administered through an agreement with your organization to do that project. So sometimes we get confused with those terms. So keep in mind that you put in a proposal or an application, and what you hopefully get in return is a grant. So one's the beginning and one's kind of the product of that process. So I've got a series of questions, and again, I'd like you guys to think about answering these in fairly short, concise ways because of the number of people that we have on the call today. But also, if somebody's already said what you're thinking when we go around our circle, feel free to say pass, or you could say, I agree with what Misha just said. Like, that's what I was thinking too. So you don't have to say the same thing as somebody else, but you could support what someone else says in answer to these questions, or you can add something to the conversation. And they're all pretty open questions, so there's no right or wrong answers. This is a conversation to help get us thinking. So I'm not going to put Juliana and Kumanopic on the spot this time, but let me find my question and post it so that the person I'm going to choose to put on the spot is able to answer it. So let me see where we'll start today. So, Adam, I know you've got some experience with this, so I'm going to put you on the spot, not to pick on you or anything. We'll take turns and we'll start our circle in different spots. So the question for you is, where did it go? Oh, there it is. And Courtney, if you're having technical difficulties, I'll pop the phone number that you can connect to. So sometimes what people do when the internet's not working great is they phone in. So I'm on my phone and the computer, but you can hang up from the computer and just join by phone if you want. So as soon as I get Adam started, I'll put the phone number in the chat for you if you can see it. So Adam, just maybe one thing. You don't have to answer 10 different things, but what's one thing that you found that funders expect when you submit a request for funding?
I think one consistent thing would be a clear description.
Can you hang on one second? I'm just going to switch to my computer because I'm having a hard time hearing you. So let me just mute my phone so you don't get feedback. Okay, can you go ahead, Adam?
Sure. Is that any better?
Yeah, I'm going to have to hang up the phone. There we go.
Yeah, what was I saying? I think there's a consistent theme that they're looking for a clear description of the outcomes that you're going to achieve and how those align with the funder's objectives and the funder's mission. And then related to that, of course, a very clear pathway, description of the steps of the activities you're going to undertake, which will lead to the achievement of those outcomes. So we want to see that process laid out quite clearly.
So can you hear me okay talking now?
Yep.
Okay. So what I heard from you is two things. One is a clear pathway, like clearly state what you're going to achieve and how that connects to what the funder wants you to do.
Right.
And the other one is the clear steps to get to those accomplishments.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. So if somebody else was thinking the same, you can either say, yeah, I agree with Adam, or you can add something different to the conversation. And if we run out of ideas before we get around our circle, I'll go to the next question. So we're going to go to Melanie and Raquel and Igor. So Melanie, do you have anything to add to Adam's, what Adam said funders expect when he submits a funding request? And you just muted, so unmute there.
One thing that I agree with Adam is that you have to align with the founder's mission, what they want you to achieve. That is one aspect of it. And then also you need to explain how funds will be used. So you're showing financial responsibility and also that these funds, again, are aligned with their mission. And they will expect financial reporting or program reporting after the fact. So these are the three things that come to my mind.
That's great. So Melanie's added to Adam, so we might run out of ideas before we get to the end of the circle, and that's okay too. So we've got a description of what you're doing, a clear pathway to get there, explaining how you're going to use the funds, making sure you're aligning with the funder's mission, and providing financial accountability. So thank you, Melanie. Rachel, do you have anything to add to that? Like, is there anything else that you think funders want to see when you submit a funding request?
I was just going to say something very similar to Melanie, that the funders will expect you to submit a budget of how are you going to use the funds that they'll provide you.
Exactly, and a good budget that explains it clearly. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rachel. Let's go Igor, Misha, Nathan. And again, if you want to support what someone else has said, you can, or if you want to add something different, go ahead. So Igor, you think funders might expect to submit a request?
I think, yeah, previous funders, I cannot come up with anything else rather than submitting.
Thank you, Igor. And Misha, how about yourself? Is there anything else that, in your experience, funders have expected from you?
I think everything's kind of covered with, like, the project plan and everything. The only thing I could add, maybe with, like, experience with this AIP, is a sustainability plan or, like, a kind of more an objective, like, impact. Sometimes they like deliverables.
Yeah. And that's one thing with Arctic Inspiration Prize. They're a bigger funder. They're looking for things that last long term, so that sustainability is really important. So thank you. Nathan, we're going to go Nathan. Melanie, yeah, I see your hand up, so maybe I'll just jump. Do you have a question, or do you want to jump in before you go to Nathan? You're muted, sorry.
I will let Nathan speak first, and then I have maybe one thing to add. That's
okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want to pop it in the chat for us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, so let's go to Nathan, and then mm-hmm. after that, we'll go Juliana, Tinoke, Holly, and Courtney. Mm-hmm. You won't be last every time. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Nathan. Anything else that funders?
Yeah, everyone's got it pretty much, but what I noticed was a lot of my funders love pictures or videos of the stuff that they did, like all the kids playing or the kids wearing the swag, the t-shirts or arts and crafts, and to show, hey, this is what we did with your money. Thank you so very much. Look, we had a barbecue. Here's some pictures you can post on your poster or magazine or whatever. Like, give us more money next year. Like, so that's all I can think of.
Yeah, so that's what they might look for when you finish the project, right?
Yeah.
And we'll come back to that when we do BF103, which is report writing, which is our last learning event before the summer. So good point. They want to see stuff and they want to hear the stories. But they also, when you're applying for funding, they want to know some stories about you and your organization or your kids or your community, right? They might not know the difference between Baker Lake and Iglulit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's probably important to share some of that. So thanks, Nathan. Okay, let's go to Melanie's comments. So Melanie had a good point here. I'll just read it out for you, Melanie, so you don't have to worry about muting and unmuting. That sometimes funders want to know that you're not double dipping or getting the same funding from somebody else. Is that what you were thinking, Melanie? Perfect. That's a real, like, So they don't want, you know, you going to two different funding sources for the same amount of money and then just sticking it in your pocket or anything. So thank you. Juliana, from your experience, what do funders expect when you submit a request?
Yes, and I think it comes with the organization profile, or if you had experience delivering the kind of program or project that you say they're going to deliver. Sometimes you're really ambitious, let's say the training on the job, and they say, have you trained anybody before, or have you tried that before, besides your clear mission and vision and who you are and what you're there for.
Yeah, so experience with doing those things before is really important, because you mentioned the word ambitious, and I think sometimes when we get wrapped up in a project, we get excited, and perhaps we're overly ambitious as far as time and people and things like that. So I think being realistic is important. So, Manasik, does anything else come to mind for you, what somebody might look for?
Everything's been said that I thought of, but one thing that the funders need to know is the timestamp, the anticipated start date and the targeted end date.
Exactly. That's a really important thing, because that also tells them that you know what you're doing with your project, but it also might fit into their funding time, because if their funding finishes on March 31st, and you're telling them you're doing something in August, 4 months later, they're not going to want to fund it, right? So they need to know that. So the start and end time. Okay, we're coming around to Holly and Courtney. I wonder if there's anything else you can think of to add to what the funders expect when you ask for money.
I was thinking, I've never had to do a proposal or a grant, but I was thinking they might want evaluation of the program at the end, how it went, what you did with their money and stuff. Like he mentioned earlier about the photos and videos. Yeah.
Exactly. And so sometimes, actually, a funder expects you to fill out an evaluation plan to say how you're going to do your evaluation and mm-hmm. how you're going to work back on it. So I've been working with Raquel on the Yukon Northern Wellness Project, and we just got an amendment for a lot of money. That's a 5-year project, and now I have to change the evaluation plan because they won't give us money without the evaluation plan. So really good point. Thanks for bringing that up, Holly. Courtney, hopefully your technical issues are okay. I'm wondering if you can have anything else to add to that, or if you want to start with the next question.
My technical difficulties are good now. Thankfully, okay. Tech support was in the building, so that's good. The one thing that I kind of thought of that goes along with what Melanie put in the chat is that funders will often want to know if you have additional sources of funding or in-kind support from other funders or agencies, or if your organization is going to provide any sort of financial support or in-kind support to the project.
Yeah, that's really important. So how else are you supporting it? Are they not the only ones that are going to be giving you money? That's great. We went around like 10 people or 11 people, and you all had a different idea. So, that tells me that you're thinking, and but also that proposal writing is a pretty big topic, and there's a lot of angles to think about. I'm going to add one more to the list of what funders expect, and that's sometimes they expect support letters. So we were talking with the Nunavut Recreation Coordinators, and they said sometimes the issue is their hamlet council or their recreation committee don't give the endorsement or for the application of funding early enough, and then the funding time frame expires. I also, when we did the Arctic Inspiration Prize, we needed 15 letters of support. And one of those was from David Clark in Rankin Inlet. And instead of writing the letter, he did a video. And he did a video letter of support, and it was awesome. They actually liked that one the best. So you can also be a bit creative with how you reach out to your funders. So that's kind of some of the things that funders expect. So now we're going to go around our circle again. I have another question, and some of this has been answered already. So my next question is, what do funders expect from you once they agree to give you funding? So I'm going to start with Igor this time, and Igor, you have a minute to think about it because I'm going to find a question and pop it in the chat for you. So once they agree to give you funding or you have the funding,
agreement or you have the funding in place, what do they expect that you're going to be doing, I would say, while you're doing the project? So I'll give you a hint. Nathan said send them photos, but while you're doing the project, you might want to collect the stories about what is what's going on. So, Igor, any thoughts? We're going to go Igor, Misha, Nathan.
I would say the thing that that comes up to my mind is make sure that you stay on the same course that you set in your application or your proposal. So what kind of activities you're going to do, when, how much money will you use, and that's one thing. Do you want me to continue with some other things, or please just to mention something?
I think everyone would appreciate it if you just say one so that they have something to say too. But there's a lot, right?
That
was great. Thank you very much. Thanks, Igor. Okay, let's see, Misha, do you have one thing to add to what Igor said about what funders expect you to do once you receive that funding?
I would say maybe maintain communication. And because sometimes too they like to visit the project. That's happened in the past.
Yeah, so maintain communication about if something changes or if you invite them to come and see what's going on, right?
Yeah, or even if they're just like wondering, sometimes there's like just a check, and like if I think if you leave some a funder high and dry until the very end, that can be a bit anxiety. Sometimes, you know, funders will give a second round of funding, so you want to keep that communication.
Yeah, you want to be the person who gets asked, do you want more money, not the person who's like, what are you doing? So that's great. Thanks, Misha. Okay, we're going to go to Nathan, then Juliana, and then to Manopic, and then Holly, Courtney, Adam, Melanie, and Raquel, if she's still on. So, Nathan, once you get that money, but before you get to the point of reporting on it and giving them photos, what do they expect from you? Something that you need to know.
You're sticking with the budget. Like, let's say you need supplies or equipment. You could purchase some and show them, hey, this is the invoice or this is the bill I bought. This is the first step. Second step should be coming up soon. Like, you know, just buying the equipment or supplies. Just to show that you're progressing. You're not just sitting on the money or you're not just sitting around doing nothing. Like, you are advancing. It sometimes takes time.
Yeah, those progress reports, they always appreciate it. And especially to do it without them asking. That looks really good, right? So thanks, Nathan. Juliana, can you think of anything to add to what Igor, Misha, and Nathan have said about what funders expect once you receive the funding?
Sometimes it's a good approach that you're always going to share with your community members and all your attendants who is funding the project, and sometimes they want you to show the proof that you did some media, and then you know, the folks that did or that you recognize them as those funding the project.
Yeah, funders, I would agree with that. Funders like to be recognized, right? So thank you very much for that. That is important.
And tag them and take a quick spin and show them that you appreciate.
And it sounded to me like there's a little bit of competition in Cambridge Bay for who gets recognized for what support and what funding. So, another story.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go Kumanopic and then Holly and then Courtney. So anything else that funders expect once you get that money?
They expect you to do what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. So they expect you to do what you said you were going to do, and if you change it, what do they want from you?
If we change it, they want reports, is it?
Or amendments?
Yeah.
Asking for permission for you.
Yeah, so if you change something, they probably want you to run it by them first, that it's okay to change it. So the big project Raquel mentioned, we've been doing it in 5 years, but we're on year three, and we've had 4 amendments, so 4 changes to it. So it's kind of a big one, but it's going to get a little overwhelming. So it's a really good point. Thank you.
Courtney, how about yourself from your experience? Was there anything with the CRA that they expected once you got that funding with them?
Well, once we were awarded the funding, we had to provide like the fund contribution agreement before we were actually given the funding. Otherwise, they did require like a mid-project report, just to report back on how things were going.
Great, and that's a really important point about the contribution agreement, because you probably don't want to start spending money until you actually have that figure. So some funders are picky enough that if you submit receipts or show that you spent that money before it's signed and dated, that they might not actually cover it. So great point. Thanks, Courtney. Okay, we're going to go Adam, Melanie, and Raquel. Adam, is there anything else that you can add? This is quite a we're getting to the end of our circle, but anything else you can think of that funders expect once you get that money? I can't hear you at all. I'm not sure if it's your volume or I can see you.
I can't think of anything else right now because I've never done a proposal myself, so I'm not sure. But, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah.
I was going to say there's a lot of great answers so far. I always sort of try to put myself in the mindset of the funder, and they've already approved your project, so your plan was good, and they want to ensure that the funds they're giving you are achieving what they've already approved that aligns with their mission. So I think making sure we're conscious of the milestones we set out and that we're on track to achieve those milestones. And I think another element involved with the funder achieving their mission, they'll sometimes want some degree of recognition. So whether that's just you're publicizing it to the participants or to the public, who is actually funding the project. In some cases, there's interest on behalf of the funders to have their name and logo on your materials and in the consciousness of those benefiting from it.
That's great, thanks. So milestones, recognizing, making sure you got the logos correct. We've gotten in trouble for that before, not using the right logo. That can be a bit of a challenge as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam. Melanie, over to you. Anything to add to what they expect once you get that money or you get acknowledgement of funding?
It's hard to speak at the last one, and basically most of it has been mentioned already. One thing that comes to my mind, and even that has been mentioned, is with our application with BIDAP, which is the youth development program, who gives funding for a whole year. They want to have a quarterly report, and then they will release the money for the next quarter. So you not get the whole year's money or the full application in one go. You have to give quarterly reports in order to unlock the next contribution. I don't know some words for that.
Yeah, and that ties into sometimes it's a written report and sometimes it's like a cash flow report to show what you've had from them or what's come in and what's gone out as well. And sometimes if you're not spending the money on the schedule that you planned, they might change it on you too.
Yeah, and it's exactly this can happen. And it's mostly a financial report, how much has been spent and have you put on the programs that you applied for, which sometimes does not happen, right? So
yeah. That's great. Well, thank you for you had something to add to it. And Raquel, I know you better run because you get to go read snowshoeing. That would be nice. The snow is beautiful out there. But is anything else that you can think of what they expect from you?
Well, the funders expect that you're going to spend all your funding. If not, you have to give it back.
Exactly. And that's the quarterly reports or things like that. So especially in a big grant, that can be challenging to spend it the way you planned it. For anyone who's interested, that was the neat thing for us with the Arctic Inspiration Prize. It actually wasn't a grant, it was prize money. So they gave it to us, and at that time we were able to be flexible and change how we did things if we needed to without them taking anything back, which was super nice. So that brings us to the end of the circle, but one thing that I also thought of is some funders, depending on how much money you have or your organization, might require an audit or some type of proof that you're using a bookkeeper or an accountant, or that your Hamlet or someone has like a financial officer looking after things. So they might not trust it just to you, Kuminoptik, here's $100,000, right? They might say, okay, Kuminoptik, who's managing the money for you? And I'll work with them and you can spend it. So we've got another thing that comes up. If you guys have anything else to add as we're going around, feel free to pop it in the chat. So we've got about 10 minutes left, and I do want to ask one more question. And let's see, we started with Igor. So this time I'm going to start with Holly. And Holly, the question is, and I'll pop it in the chat for you to see too, is what do funders expect after your project wraps up? So I'll give you a hint. Nathan said photos and stories. So it's after your project wraps up. What do they expect from you? And then we'll go from Holly to Courtney to Adam, Melanie, Igor, Misha, Nathan, Julianne, and Kuminoptik. So any thoughts, Holly?
I would say the evaluation at the end of what you did with the photos and stuff, what you did with the money, how you spent it, and yeah.
Yeah, so by evaluation and the money, you're meaning two different things, right? One would be a financial report and one would be an assessment of what worked well or what you might improve on?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Okay, so two things, and so you guys can add to that, a financial report and an evaluation report, possibly, depending on the size of your grant. Small grants might not expect a big evaluation report. So, thanks, Holly. Courtney, from your experience, what else would funders require besides an evaluation or a financial report?
So along with the evaluation, they might want to know whether or not your project's going to continue or if that was a one-time thing.
Yeah, that's great. And sometimes that can be good for your funding and sometimes not, right? Some funders only do funding that lasts for a single project or a new project. They are getting a bit better, though. So that's really good. And that speaks to the sustainability that Misha said they might look for right at the beginning of in your proposal. Thank you. Adam, what do funders expect after a project wraps up? I can't hear you again. I'm not sure what's going on with your volume.
Better. Oh,
yeah.
How's that?
Oh, it was good. Now I can hear you, yeah.
I'm good now?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just thinking as part of that reporting, a demonstration of how, or I guess of what you achieved towards those outcomes that you define, and those outcomes again being linked to the mission of the funder. So if they are funding projects to build resiliency in youth, they would want to see how you've actually achieved that. Because in essence, that's what the funder is trying to purchase, is youth resiliency. And so you want to show that you've delivered on that, not just that you've run a program and people had fun and the money was spent, but that it was actually impactful in the way that you said it was going to be.
Yeah, and we'll dig into that in evaluation, which is RP102, our next learning event, but you raise a really good point because something like resiliency is a really hard thing to attribute to one project, and it's really hard to measure over the short term that some of our projects run. So sometimes it's easier to, you know, provide things like how many youth participated, what they participated in, and those types of things. So good point and good lead into our next learning stuff too. Thanks, Adam. Melanie, from your experience, is there anything else to add to what funders expect after your project wraps up?
Not really. It's the financial report, as far as I know, the project report, and then, yeah, nothing else comes really to mind. I'm not really required to give an evaluation report. It's more a project report, how it went and what you did, so you know how the money has been spent, and that it really has been spent on the mission of the funder. Yeah, I don't have anything to add, really.
That's good, though, because you did add, you said a project report. So in my mind, there's two different ways to report on something. You can report in writing and using stories, or you can report using numbers and budgets and things. So two different ways, and usually at the end, they want both.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Melanie. Igor, over to you, then Misha, then Nathan. Igor, is there anything else that you, in your experience, funders will expect from you when your project wraps up? You might just have to unmute. I think you're muted still. There we go.
Oh, now it's fine. I just wanted to say that everything mentioned, and rather than maybe an invoice to a particular organization at the end for the money. I don't like the money because most of the funders give one half at the beginning and one half after the project.
Yeah, so that invoicing is important. Do that until after you've wrapped up the whole project. So good, thank you. Misha, how about in your experience? Is there anything else that you can make to add to the conversation about what funders might expect once your project wraps up?
I think everything has been said, but one thought, and it's not towards the funders, it's maybe with the community, to get like an evaluation of what they thought of the program, so that it gives you like a record of how it went, and then also like for future projects.
So like community feedback then in a way. Thanks, Misha. Okay, so we'll go to Nathan and Juliana and Kumanopic. And I know I'm putting you guys on the spot at the end. You might not have anything to add, and that's okay. What do funders expect if your project wraps up? And Nathan, you can use your same answer if you want.
Yeah, I was gonna say just pictures, videos, and then maybe participants. Like, how did you have fun? But she just explained, community feedback. Like, I don't know pretty much what else. But yeah, everyone has it pretty much thrown up. Thanks, everyone.
That's great. Well, you started us on that track when you said stories and photos, so thank you. Juliana, do you have anything else to add to that that comes to mind?
I think the majority. Well, but it was this part also. Some grants they do want, sometimes when you're getting to the Kitchener Senior Association or Canada Summer Job, especially when it's wage subsidy, they want also, they use their work with us, if it's a mentorship program, something, to give their own evaluation.
Okay.
And see from their point of view what they thought about the.
Yeah, so they want a perspective from a participant as well, or somebody that's involved, or somebody that's benefited from the project, not just from you as running the project. That's great. Thanks. Can I take anything to add?
All I can say is I agree with Melanie and Igor. As a two-part funder, there's two-part funders and one-part funders in the middle and in the end. So, final report.
Yeah. Thank you. And I guess the only other thing, I just a thank you to Kumanopic. What do you think funders want at the end?
Oh, man,
Dr. Mick, thank you, right? Mm-hmm. So some of the things that sometimes I've done in the past is send a thank you card.
Mm-hmm.
If you're with an organization like RPAM that has some nice swag, you can send them a jacket or a hat or something to say thank you for their support. And that goes a long way, too. Some of our funders in the Yukon expect like a photo recognition or something put in the newspaper, something like that. So, you know, that does go a long way as well. So thank you. So thanks, everybody. This sort of wraps up our call, but before we end it, I'd like to take a minute to share my expectations for your draft proposal. So can everyone still hear me clearly? Like thumbs up, you can hear me well. Okay. So
what I'd like you to do this week, you have a required learning event, or activity, sorry, that's due on Sunday, and it's just to write it from the perspective of a funder. It shouldn't take a lot of time for you to do this week's one, so I'd like you to start thinking about your draft proposal. And so you might want to choose something, a project that you have in mind, something that you have to write a proposal for, or a funding application that you want to put in for something. So there is a difference between those things. So let me just see where we're at. So other ideas, you might be thinking of buying some new equipment, taking a group of youth on a trip like Nathan did last year, offering a special program to a group of elders, maybe Holly, that's something that you're thinking of doing. Your ideas are up to you. I would suggest that you don't go too big. I've had people try and, for this learning event, write really big proposals or funding applications. It's not the end product that I'm looking for, it's the process of putting the pieces together. So if you pick something really big, just be aware it will take more time. So what you're going to do is you're going to, beginning next week, take that idea that's kind of in your head. Igor, you can't hear me at all? No? Stay on the call afterwards and I'll fill you in because I saw you had a blank screen there for a little bit. So if you can stay on at the end, I'll fill you in. So what you can do, here's a couple of things to consider. So you can write a proposal, or you can prepare a funding application. So what's the difference? Well, a proposal is usually fairly flexible. There might be a couple of questions or a couple of things that it might not tell you how many words or what specifically to do for it. Whereas an application is usually something that you might find through, like Igor said, Get Active, WTRPA one. That has an application, it's more like an application form. But a lot of the process is the same and the content is similar to doing a proposal. So you can choose one or the other of those. You don't have to write this massive proposal. Keep it simple. Try to choose a simple project, a simple funding source, so you don't get too overwhelmed. And choose an idea for something you really want to do. If it's not something you want to do, it's hard to write. If there's a proposal or a funding application you've put in before that you'd like to look at and revise, maybe you submitted it and didn't get funding, you can also use that and redo something that you've done in the past. And that could save you time too. So I'm open to that as well. If you're going to actually submit this, make sure that you have approval from whoever your supervisor is who would be making signing off on your proposal. Maybe some of you don't need that approval, like Igor, I'm guessing maybe you don't need to go to your FAO for every single proposal that you submit or grant application. But, you know, maybe Holly, because you're working in a different environment, you might need to. So if you need approval for what you're doing, make sure you get that too. If you're like, oh my God, I have no ideas, what should I do? Then let me know and we'll work on something together. I'm happy to give you a call and we can come up with something that works for your interests, your community, your role, and also the time that you have available. I was also going to add in there that proposal writing requires good writing skills. So I am looking not for perfect writing, but I'm looking for good writing for you where you're at. So I suggest that you try different writing tools if you need them. There's one called Grammarly, and you can even, I started checking out the AI, like the chat, GPT, or is it GPT? GPT. Oh my gosh. So I have no problem if you find a tool that's online. It's not, this is not an academic post-secondary institution that I'm going to get mad if you use AI. So if AI works for you to write a proposal, go ahead and use it. And experiment with the tools that are available to support you. Well, this week's required learning activities due on Sunday, and you're just going to choose a funding program and imagine that you're the funder. So you're writing it from the funder's perspective, not from your perspective. And make sure you read what other people post, and that will be really helpful too. So I'm going to end the conference call recording and say thank you very much to everybody for jumping in today. It was great. I thought we'd have the same ideas, but everybody had something to contribute to the conversation. So thank you so much. And if you need a few minutes, I'll stay on the call for a few minutes to answer any questions or anything like that. And you can always reach out to me through my cell phone or email if you want time at another point in time to connect. So, Matincho, merci, Guanashish, Nakonik.
Did I say it right?
Okay. I'm practicing. And Juana, which is what they say in Cambridge Bay, thank you so much for being on the call today, and I'll talk to you next week. Just stay on if you want to stay on a little bit longer and have any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.